has come and now it's gone. This is Elite Wrestling Audio, the only podcast that provides you two Boricuas from the Bronx giving you barbershop conversations about professional wrestling. It's your co-host with the mo-host, Val Cisco, and of course, with me as always, the Night King himself, Jay Rance. How you doing, bud?
I'm chilling, bro. Brr. It's cold. Winter came and it's gone. But I'm good.
Yes, man. I felt like there was like a whiff of glacier in the air, okay? Throwing super kicks left and right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. Yo, that was some fucking epic snow we saw last night.
The epic dry ice was filling the arena in a 40-degree stadium in Jacksonville. Guys, why are we talking about winter? Why are we talking about glacier? Well, we are doing the post-show for Winter Is Coming, AEW's premier Dynamite that debuted yesterday, December 2nd. And boy, oh boy, was there a lot of shock and awe that happened on this Dynamite. Jay, I'm going to throw it to you real quick on your hot takes. I know you are hyped about the event. Did it live up to your expectations?
That's a big negative. It didn't live up. No. I'll be honest. I'll be the Debbie Downer. It did not live up to what it was supposed to be. This epic fucking Winter Is Coming, the big title match. We got, you know, the Battle Royal, doing little previews and trailers on YouTube, everything. It was built up as a pay-per-view marquee event. Did we get that? No, we didn't. We just got what we got yesterday. And like you said, it was blatantly obvious that this event just revolved around the main event. And that's what we got yesterday. Yeah. So I was genuinely disappointed. How did you feel about it? Did it live up to you? Taking out the awe and shock value in that.
I was lukewarm going into this, into winter. You know, I felt like this was, you know, on our last podcast, we were saying, you know, I was specifically saying that this should have been on a pay-per-view or at least an event or whatnot if you were going to hype this up. And you're right. I feel like this was only an event leading up to the main event. And then, of course, maybe even the co-main event as well, too. We'll talk about that. Yeah. But everything else is pretty much sacrificed in fast order as well, too. Whether it was three matches that we saw, whether it was the backstage segments, whether it was just little things they were trying to hype up for later down the road. I felt like a couple things were rushed that didn't have to be rushed. Some things need to be like settled down and you just sink in and just enjoy it.
I mean, from the beginning, the whole event was rushed because like before I sat down, I was just grabbing a beer and I'm over here hearing my son, what's his name? Josh Martinez, something like that. I don't even know his name. I don't want to butcher it, but some Mark is probably wilding. Yeah, like I'm over here grabbing my beer and all I hear is, this is the battle. I'm like, bro, I just.
Justin Roberts.
Ooh, I was off. But yeah, I just saw the intro. I'm like, yo, my mans, I just finished seeing the intro. I haven't even grabbed the beer and sat down. And all I'm hearing is, this is the battle royal. I'm like, well, okay. Then it was just. That's the trend. It was just rush after rush. Everything just felt very rushed, and it sucks because we didn't get that hype, man. And some terrible, I don't want to say booking, but a result. I don't know, man. But it didn't live up. And you know me, I was excited. I was putting this all over the Facebook pages and on Twitter, like winter's coming, winter's coming. Let's go. And this is what we got. I don't know, but we can jump right into it, bro.
Yeah, man. I mean, going into this, yes, it started off pretty hot as well, too. You know, and you know what? I'll go back and forth on this as well, too, because I kind of feel like they started off the event in the right way. First is for first, we had a death that happened yesterday as well, too. The late, great Pat Patterson, you know, passes away, a legend of the sport, you know, a guy who created the Royal Rumble for WWE. And of course, this Battle Royal had to be some kind of tribute to him in a way as well, too. Mm-hmm. He was also mentioned a couple of times throughout the broadcast, especially in Jon Moxley's promo that he cut before losing the title. Spoiler alert, it happened. If you love wrestling, hey, you already know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Pat Patterson, do you have any things to say about Pat before we get into this?
I mean, yeah, you know, Pat Patterson, he's, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't want to say the IC title, but if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have Battle Royals, you know, and there's been a lot of moments that have been Battle Royal favorites for any wrestling fan. And it's a marquee event that we look forward to. I mean, the Royal Rumble as well and stuff like that. You get what I'm saying? But I just lost my thoughts. But, I mean, yeah, if it wasn't for him and his little innovation, we would have some stuff like that. Like, it would just be a barren world without, you know, Battle Royals, Royal Rumbles and stuff. So, I mean, innovator, how do you feel about it?
You know, coming out the West Coast from big time wrestling, San Francisco, being a legend in that area, coming down to the WWF around 1978, 79, having historical matches in Madison Square Garden with Sergeant Slaughter, being the first ever Intercontinental Champion down in Brazil, you know, a first for having bloody wars as well, too, for his time as well, too, in a time where in the 70s, no one was caring about hardcore matches. People were like, ooh, I don't want that, but he was bringing the fire. So, Pat Patterson, you know, a legend of the sport, someone who was, I will say this, he was the conscience in Vince McMahon's ear when it came to booking decisions, when it came to how things should go backstage and on TV as well, too. So I give that guy a lot of respect for being the voice of reason sometimes in Vince McMahon's ear. I mean, a lot of people in our generation, for our age, will probably remember Pat Patterson best for being a stooge with Gerald Briscoe. But if you look back at the history of Pat Patterson, what he's done for the company, what he's done backstage, what he's done for NXT, what he's done for a lot of wrestlers who are at the top of their level right now, they will have nothing but great things to say about Pat Patterson. Probably a couple of negatives here and there, but at the end of the day, it's pretty much positives when it comes to him.
Ooh, let's get into the negative. No, let me stop. I'm playing. But yeah, you know, definitely, man. Rest in peace, Pat Patterson. Honestly.
All right. So let's get into this battle royal real quickly. A hodgepodge of different wrestlers in this battle royal. A couple of people that, like you said, weird booking decisions. And you look at this match, and a couple of key players you would have thought would have won this match. I mean, yeah, you had people like Hangman Page. You had people like Miro, even though you weren't too high on him. You know, Sean Spears, Scorpio Sky, Jungle Boy. You know, so many different people that really could have benefited from this. And what was it to you?
So many people that can actually benefit from not being in here, in my opinion, as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This was just a smorgasbord of talent that we don't know what to do with right now. Which the first one that sticks out to, and this is why I hate AEW sometimes. I was just sitting here like telling you, or I think I said on the podcast a few weeks ago, you know, no, I think that's what the chat we were having off of the podcast. Yeah, I'm all in. I'm all in, bro. I'm all elite. It felt good. It felt like a refresh. No, you go do the shenanigans with this card. You go do shenanigans with this match. This match was very sloppy. It had no direction. Players that should not be in here. One that sticks out to me, two actually that stick out, is Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy goes from having a phenomenal match with MJF to something like this. Really, bro? That elevated him, that match. And this is where we got him right now. Shawn Spears, the fucking loaded glove gimmick, doing phenomenal. We've been teased at this, you know, Four Horsemen stable. What's going on? Nothing. You haven't done nothing with Shawn Spear. You just put his cheeks out in the air so Dustin Rhodes can smack him. That's all you've done with him. Then you got big time players like Warlow. I mean, Warlow, I think they're playing his lane with Warlow right now because there's too many. The title picture makes us too much. So that's cool. I backtrack on that. But Miro hasn't done nothing, so he belongs in here. I take that back, because Miro, since leaving WWE, he's not elevated his brand. He's done nothing. And I can just mention other wrestlers that have left WWE and are phenomenal places right now. First of all, Brian Myers, EC3 doing his thing in ROH. But that's besides the picture. Honestly, it just had no direction, and it was weird. We know they're battling for the diamond ring and stuff like that. And then that little end sequence where Sammy Guevara got eliminated with Jungle Boy at the same time. They were doing their thing right there. If anything, you could have kept Jungle Boy in even longer, revisited that history with him and MJF, make him eliminate Wardlow. If anything, that should have been the winner, not Orange Cassidy. Stop trying to make Orange Cassidy relevant. His time expired, bro. There's nothing that you can do with this guy, like you said, unless you put the title on him. If anything, I would have much liked Jungle Boy to win. I thought Jungle Boy was going to win, honestly, so they could revisit that history. That would have been fucking...
Yeah.
It would have... did leaps and bounds with him. I would have just loved seeing him come out on Luchasaurus's back, kissing the ring, like mocking him the whole time. They would have had wars. But
Or even, not to cut you off, even the bait and switch that they gave us with MJF and Wardlow. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, you know, it's something that probably would have played off weird next week, you still have that history of Wardlow kind of stepping up to MJF and each other. Mm-hmm. That would have played off.
Yeah, that could have played off here. I thought, you know, like you said, and you hit the nail on the head, I even forgot that Orange Cassidy wasn't eliminated, that he just like went through the ropes. That at no moment did they play on that. And here just comes randomly, oh yeah, Orange Cassidy's not eliminated. I don't know if that was an actual legit mess up or what was that, but it was terrible. You know, you could have definitely lived off on the Warlow, like you said. Overall, man, it was just a weird match. I mean, I'm glad that it opened, because not good. This match is terrible. How did you feel about this match?
Same here. I mean, I feel like the wrong people were in this match, like you said as well, too. I think the people that should have shined this match, in my opinion, get a lot of the cast from AEW Dark, brother. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, like, you know, the Peter Avalons in the world and all the tag teams that you don't use right now. This could have been another segment for, let's say, Best Friend. You know, the hybrid twos already in that angle, but you had a lot of people that could have been in this from AEW Dark to carry over and fill the ring, and then maybe one or two people that are known, like your Warlows, your Miros in the world, and whatnot, your Jungle Boys. Luchasaurus was missing from this match. I'm not too sure if people are sick or injured, but what the hell,
bro? Luchasaurus, you know, then you have another stud, which I mean, of course, he's probably not going to win, but you got John Silver in here. John Silver should not be in this match. John Silver is probably one of the best things right now that AEW has going. Boom, you put him in here. Terrible. Like you said, maybe this is a platform where you could use Devon Sons, TNT. You can use the Varsity Blondes, Brian Pillman Jr. This could have been something for him to do his thing, you know, get some more exposure out there. But this is what we got. So it was just very weird, man. And this is, it's just too much. I go back to what you said, and this is how I feel. Sometimes I feel that the Inner Circle still is shining too much, because this was just very, to build more Inner Circle tension. And the second match was the same thing, Inner Circle tension. It's time that we start straying away from the Inner Circle, in my opinion. So, I mean,
it's only growing now these days.
Apparently, it's becoming like the NWO. You know, who else are we going to get in here?
Bring back Virgil. Let's do it.
But I don't know. It was just a weird match, honestly. And I don't think it did anything good for that ring, because we know, you said it, we know that MJF has been protecting that ring and giving it a lot of prestige. Now, from this match to Orange Cassidy winning, do I want to see it? Do I want to see Orange Cassidy walk around with a ring? Hell no, because all I'm going to see is nonchalant Orange Cassidy like, I want to see that.
And he drops it every once in a while.
He's probably going to drop it and devalue it. Let's be honest, you hit the nail on the head when you said that ring does have prestige. It actually means more than the FTW title. But then this is...
I'll tell you this much.
Yeah.
I am okay with MJF being the person at the end, because if that's the case, and let's say he does win next week for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, bro, I want to see MJF like a Thanos, having like a Mandarin, like having a whole bunch of rings on him right now. That would work for me right now. Just like kiss the rings.
So that would be epic. That would be epic. But let's see. I don't think it's set for him to win, honestly, bro. I think that shit is going to go to Orange Cassidy. But this is what we're going to get. We're going to get MJF next week, Orange Cassidy for the ring. So do you have anything positive to say about this match? If not.
Not at all. Like, other than that, maybe. You know what? One positive that I will say that I didn't like. I did like the exchange between Warlow and Miro. I think that's how Miro needs to be booked. Not this fucking horrible gamer gimmick. Like, Miro's a fucking monster. And I like when Miro's a fucking monster, when he's looking at you all crazy, when he's about to beat the shit out of you, and then you have this suave, sophisticated monster in Warlow, just like two jocks waiting to go at it after the football game. That's what I want to see. That's okay. I don't want this gamer fucking game over Miro. I want monster Miro. So that was my positive right there with that little exchange between them two.
Man, the only positive I got out of this is Warlow. Every time I get to see Warlow wrestle, I'm fucking happy. I'm ecstatic. I love Warlow. I'm big on some Warlow. I could care less about Miro. He's a big monster piece of trash. So, like, I'm sorry. I'll be harsh. I do not like the Miro. He's done nothing to elevate his brand. We're getting Rusev 2.0. He still does the baby stomps. He's actually been botching more since he got over here. I have nothing nice to say about Miro, so I mean, I'm not of course gonna sit here and disrespect him, but I'm talking about his in ring.
I will. his shorts don't fit. No, that shit bucks the shit out of me. I don't know why he's like wearing these like tidy shorts, but they're flabby on the bottom. So I'm like, what are you doing?
I haven't peeped that. Now I'm gonna have to watch that, but I'm gonna have to look out for that. But yeah, maybe the gimmick doesn't do him no justice. Maybe the fact that he just jumped to a big show like AEW doesn't do him no justice. I don't know. But right now, WWE WWE was right getting rid of him. So, yeah, I'm done with my tangents for the first match.
Well, speaking about, you know, doing no justice whatsoever, the second match, Chris Jericho, Frankie Kazarian, a match where I was touting was going to be incredible because Frankie Kazarian, phenomenal wrestler for the past 10 years. Chris Jericho always does a damn good job as well, too. And this match was just full of shenanigans.
It was.
That's all it was. Just shenanigan after shenanigan. Jake Hager with his best-looking Brock Lesnar boots on, like, walking around, stomping around those Rose Killers like nobody's business.
Oh, yo, he had that mean fucking peacock coat on as well.
I couldn't take this man seriously.
I couldn't either, yeah. I was like, wait, were you the badass that was in Bellator a minute ago, or who are you, bro? Like, you look like Mean Street Posse.
After he had that one fight, that was it. Took his power away.
For real.
What's it called? So, looking at this match right here, like, right from the gate, it was just a bunch of shenanigans. Like, within 2 minutes of the match, you had, like, interference from the Inner Circle, a code breaker, a couple of smooth sequences back and forth. It kind of ends all awkwardly, and then we get a win by Jericho, just with shenanigans and Inner Circle protecting him. How did you feel about this? Because this felt super rushed, and like you said, the agenda once again is to push the Inner Circle and cause tension and turmoil.
Yep. First of all, my first vibes, we have a veteran like Kazarian in here that's been busting his ass 22 years for this fucking business, and you do him so dirty like this. This was a match that it's like, you know, a fan favorite. You know how we say some matches are owed to the fans? This is a match that the fans could sink their teeth into. This is what I thought we were going to get. You were very high on this match. So I'm like, all right, bro, I could get behind this. Kazarian Jericho, this is kind of like, you know, owed to the fans. It's a fans match. But then you do my man Kazarian this bad, bro, where obviously, it did, like you said, the shenanigans were just more growth for the Inner Circle storyline. The match was terrible. The match, I'm not going to say sloppy, but it felt... the whole ambiance, that's what I mean, fell sloppy, because you had Jake Hager prancing around, you had Ortiz jumping up and down from the apron, you know, then you have MJF coming out where like, I'm gonna throw the towel, Warlow just standing out there not doing nothing, then Sammy Guevara, where I thought we were gonna get like an accidental bump and then he was gonna throw the towel, but terrible acting, terrible everything. The ambiance was just bad, and I'm just very upset that this is a match that should have been gave to the fans, where Jericho and Kazarian should have brought the house down. This could have easily been match of the night, but it wasn't, and we got these shenanigans.
Yeah, this should have been the wrestling match of the night, and honestly, because of the time restricts that they had, because of the next two matches, the two main events.
The two main events, yeah.
You know, this just went by with no direction whatsoever besides doing a match, setting up a match next week. You know, what was it? If they don't all work together, they break up. Like,
yeah.
What the hell is this bullshit we're doing here?
Stupid. Yeah, like, I mean, you gave us that match. I'm not going to say you threw Kazarian under the bus, but you basically sacrificed a match, like you said, that could have been the wrestling match of the night. Just... to get the news that if you guys don't put your shit together up aside, we're gonna break up. Nah, bro. And these are the things that AEW does that piss me off. This is some WWE shit. Last night was straight WWE stuff, bro. Honestly.
It was. And you know what bothers me about it? We'll kind of get off of this as well, so we get to the next match. Mm-hmm. But what bothers me the most about it is that the rush in storytelling as well, too. Like, you have an angle where we all know that someone's going to turn on each other, right? Like, MJF, Jericho, someone's going to do something.
Yeah.
But just let it sink in for a couple of weeks. Like, you're in no rush. There's no pay-per-view coming up until a month or two away from now. So, at the end of the day, let everybody celebrate. I love the fucking angles they did in Vegas. That was the best thing in the world.
I agree with you 1,000%. We could have just had this treacherous Inner Circle act of MJF where he's just like infiltrating to break it up. That was gold. The work that they were doing on social media, from the posting up to the pictures, everything in Vegas, that was all gold. You could have legit continued that for like a month or two, in my opinion. But now you're just rushing the breakup of Inner Circle.
I don't know. I give that a thumbs down as well too.
So. Oh yeah.
Here's a bright spot though. I actually like this next match. I think, in my opinion, probably was a high point in this event as well too. At least in the middle of the event. Mm-hmm. Your slice of pie, Britt Baker comes out.
Yeah.
It has a nice little exhibition match with a newcomer, Leia Hirsch. Did I say that correctly? Yeah, Leia Hirsch.
Yeah.
Bro, this little. this little small
your slice of pie,
like, this little Russian sambo wrestling machine, 4'11", just throwing arm bars everywhere,
all up your alley right now.
I'm just like, all right, yeah, why not? Let's go thickums. And you know what? It surprised me. They had a very competitive match. I mean, they had some shenanigans with Reba, Rebel, and whatnot. The commentary was the best throughout the match as well, too.
The commentary was the best, and legit, Tony Schiavone's sticking with it because he said, Reba, no, not Rebel. I don't know. Like, he's sticking with it.
The best one. Britt Baker. What a bitch. One of the best lines of the night.
Bro, I love Tony Schiavone. You give me Tony Schiavone, Excalibur, and whoever you want to put as a guest there, bro. Golden.
Fantastic. This is the first time we didn't see JR come out of his fucking sticks as well, too, because I was expecting JR to say something rude and obnoxious. But no, he stood by in this match, and he was just calling the wrestling as it was. So I enjoyed that right there. The match itself... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I don't want to... Yeah.
I was going to say the match itself was a fun match, though. Very good. Good showing for Hirsch. I thought, you know, she did remind me a little bit, and maybe it's just me, just from her outfit and from what she was doing. She was almost like Ronda Rousey light in WWE, kind of, just a tad bit. And I feel like they were capitalizing on that just a little bit. But this worked for me. It was challenging. It was competitive. She got the L, but it was a fun match from Britt Baker as well, too.
You're a better person than me because... I was seeing her and I was like, yo, this is like the female version of what's that dude that was in WWE? Kozlov?
Vladimir Kozlov.
This is like the female version of him, bro. Doing all these sambo trips, these arm bars and everything in the plexes. Honestly, this was a shining moment of the event. We saw Britt Baker. Britt Baker's a legit solid wrestler. I think that's why we got a decent match. The dancing partner. I think Britt Baker brought the good out of her and made her look good. And she also looked good as well. She definitely has the talent. So I'm impressed with this match. I want to see some more of her. Maybe this could be a good acquisition for the female division. We also saw at the end the interference by Thunder Rosa, which is phenomenal, which is just, I want to see some Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker go to town on each other. Overall, good match, though, honestly. We saw some shenanigans from Reba Rebel, but what did she have on her head? Like a hair or a beanie or something?
Something like that.
Just drop it. But overall, good match, man. Good match. Britt Baker's always solid. And this little sambo machine, bro, she's awesome, man. I like her.
And then, of course, the shenanigans after the match, what I love the most, Thunder Rosa storms to the ring and beats the every living hell out of Britt Baker and Reba. And out of nowhere as well, too, we get this whole breakup scene, which was a little forced. We've seen this happen way too many times in wrestling. I get tired of it here and there. You get the trainers out, the security out. Go ahead. I want to hear you. Because you sound like you weren't that happy about this one.
No. The caveat to that, I agree with you. We get that a lot. They should have let them scrap for a little bit. The caveat to that was where Rebel just went up and started lighting up Thunder Rosa.
Out of nowhere, we're going off script.
We're going off script. And she's like, light her up. I'm like, you can do that, girl. Protect your...
You're going to get rocked, though. Thunder Rosa don't play. Shoot shots for real.
Hell yeah, bro. Thunder Rosa is a beast, man. But why are you tired of seeing like these little trainers and referees splitting everything up?
I think it's just lazy booking, you know? Okay. I think, you know, there's other ways to start like a brawl or get a brawl out of the way or whatnot. Mm. Like, you know what? If you want to do something different and have a showcase as well too, because I feel like this event was to showcase a lot of talent. You know, showcase our talent. Yeah. This is what we could bring to you guys, the audience, AEW. Get your whole fucking women's division out there and try to break it up. All the females in the locker room just separating. Then you have the NWA girls backing Thunder Rosa up. You have the AEW girls backing Britt up.
That would've been fine.
Ooh, you have something there working in the mist. You don't know what's gonna go. You know, you don't know what's gonna happen with it. Yeah. But hey, it's a little something that causes some kind of diversity.
That would have been fire. You know me, my mind just thinks different. I would have liked to see if we wouldn't get... Obviously, the main event was the attraction of this and the co-main event. But honestly, it would have been dope if we would have probably not got maybe the Battle Royal match and you could have had Britt pull, like, you want a trick and pull the rug up under people's feet, you could have had Britt pull a double duty. Thunder Rosa just come out, be like, nah, I want a piece of that ass right now, let's go, you know, winter's coming, let's do this, you get what I'm saying, and have her pull a double duty and just have a match with her real quick, you feel me? But that's just me, that's how my mind gets down. If you want to show some talent and stuff like that and elaborate and do some prompts and stuff, but definitely I would have liked to see some NWA girls going up against AEW girls. That would have been fire,
bro. No. You know how my mind works. I would have said, you know what, you want to do something like that? War Games is coming. We're going to have our own little miniature War Games. We'll have a 3-on-3 right now. We'll have Allison Kay, we'll have Serena Deeb, and we'll have Thunder Rosa. They all hate each other, but they're going to work because they are all on the same team in a way. And then you take, what, Britt Baker, Sheeta, and then just throw somebody else there. Random Abaddon, I guess. And, and just see if they can coexist, because they all can't coexist.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
They all can't coexist, yeah.
That's how my mind works. And I feel like that would have been a fun little matchup between two different companies. We'll get to that a little later as well, too. But can we
yeah,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, can we talk about that backstage segment, though, between Sheeta
and
Alex Marvez?
yeah, I'm at it, bro. That was a funny moment.
So you were very high in this moment. Me, not so much. And a lot of people are very high on Abaddon. I'm not. I'll be very honest with you. I see no potential in her whatsoever. I don't like her wrestling. I don't like her gimmick. I think her gimmick's okay, but I've seen it done far better. And
who?
Yeah.
Rosemary?
I think Su Young does it 10 times
Su
better.
Young? Oh, okay. Yeah, Su Young. Yeah.
I think Su Young goes to town. Now, I'll say this. Her gimmick is more like Resident Evil zombie type shit.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and roll. No problem, but I feel like just like little things like this little backstage segment where we have Sheeta trying to cut a promo, and I get it, she's doing her best right now, and she went out there to look like a champion and you know, convey some kind of emotion. But the whole little, you hear a pipe fall in the background, and she's like, oh yeah,
that was that. All right, so my hearing is terrible then. That was a pipe? I thought that was like the little Japanese guitar, like dun, 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 dun. Like, I was like, wait.
It was like a couple of, maybe it was my hearing, but I heard like two pipes, like, pum, pum. And I was like, and she's like, oh, yeah. I was like, you're scared of that shit?
Word.
like, what is this? Like, oh, no. Oh, can we cut this? Can we? We're on live TV.
Yo, he should have hit her with the "we're live" gal. Bro, I would have cried. If he would have hit her with the JR fucking Psycho Sid. Honestly, I'm high on it because we get a little bit of more to Sheeta's character. That's one. You know, we always sit here and say, okay, you're just a kendo stick wielding cosplayer making little chicken nuggets on your page. You get what I'm saying? So
that was also in the promo as well, too. You cosplay? I cosplay, too.
What you gonna do? Where, bro? Like, what's up? I want to see a little cosplay battle. Let's go. But, but yeah, so it showed something more interesting in her. We've seen little bits and pieces of that where they try to show personality, hear me? Personality, some aggression when she fought Nyla Rose. So that's why I was kind of big on it. Cool. I like that. I want to see some more of Sheeta, man. As far as for Abaddon, I'm really not sold on it just yet. If done, it has to be done right. You get what I'm saying? Like, because you have the bar set like Su Young. You have even, I mean, I would even not really like that, but even Rosemary, you know, those are names that just come real quick. You get what I'm saying? So for Abaddon, she has a high ceiling that she needs to catch up to. But I'm just looking at it this way. My mind thinks different. If done right, and if Abaddon can pull it off, this can be AEW's version of The Fiend. You know, a female Fiend.
Yeah.
This could be their thing. So that's why I was like, okay, it's kind of cool. I want to see what Abaddon could do. I'm not big on her. Her in-ring is okay, but I'm just looking at it as this can be big if done right. So that's why I was kind of big on it.
You know what it is? Like, it's the selling from Sheeta. Like, I personally don't know how we're supposed to react as our champion running around like a chicken shit from this chick. So it's like, for me, when I look at a champion, you know, you're the champion for a reason. So you're supposed to like head on every challenge. And this makes her feel like when like a bump in the night happens, you're kind of creeped out. That's really good for heels.
Yeah, I got you.
Not baby faces. Another thing too, with the only reason why I bring up Su Young is not because I'm a huge young fanboy because she's done a lot of botches in her career as well too. Mm-hmm. But you know, I look on the other side of the spectrum with Impact that recently happened, and you look at their champion with Deonna Purrazzo, right? And she has almost the same kind of interaction with Su Yung, right? She has this nice little promo with the Sinister Minister, James Mitchell. You know, she gets the Brides to come out and, you know, attack Su Yung and carry her off in this whole little mystical kind of angle. Like, all that shouldn't work whatsoever, but it does because they live the gimmick. They live the kayfabe in that, right?
Yeah.
This deserves some kind of kayfabe in there. Like, if you're going to go full on like Resident Evil Zombie, come out there and bite the chick, you know? Like, do something that's going to make... cause fear. Hell, Shayna Baszler did it earlier this year.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I lost Shayna Baszler. Nah, but she just she just licked the fucking belt. I get you. Yeah. If Shida, because bro, it would have been perfect if Shida was the chicken shit heel, like you said, because she could have been running around with her kendo stick. You know what I'm saying? And just like mad paranoid at anything that goes bump in the night. She could even help. She could even pull the fucking Birds of Prey, have conversations with her kendo. You get what I'm saying? Like, nah, yeah, we about to do this or that, or something like that. I get you. But for the champion, you know, yeah, she needs to be headstrong, bro. Fuck it. You can still use the kendo, but come out with your little samurai fucking attire, bro. And do something, you know? Walk around majestically like, nah, I'm gonna pop this chick up her head.
Bro.
How you take a zombie out?
I'm Kenny Omega, and I'm in charge of the females' division, and I love Japanese culture.
He's slacking, bro. He's slacking.
Bro, but he's like a video game nerd, bro.
He's slacking.
There's so many Japanese games that have been out there where you can just take a concept, or movies out there, yeah, where you're just like, okay, this is like the samurai that falls from grace and is scared, that doesn't know how to react when it comes to conflict. Mm-hmm. Here's the evil entity that's coming mm-hmm. its way, trying to steal something from the hero. This is mm-hmm. when the hero gets scared for a second. But now you need to strap on the fucking samurai outfit. You need to out there with a new gimmick. You need to come out there and say, I'm the strong warrior. Mm-hmm. You don't go out there and say, you cosplay? I cosplay too. No, like, no. Show me some strength, bro.
I agree with you. I agree with you. There's so many things that they can do this, you know, do with this. So just a quick question. Yeah. Sheeta's reign as champion is oversaturated and we need to see a different champ, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. 1,000% right now. I was very happy when she won it from Nyla at first, even though I felt like Nyla deserved a couple more months with it. I felt like, okay, like, they've been building Sheeta with a couple of, like, wins lately on Dynamite. She gets a title. Cool. She'll probably lose it down the line, but it's just a nice little give for someone like Sheeta. That okay. works. I've always felt that she was higher in the spectrum of wrestling than Rio, like, character-wise, built-wise, wrestling-wise. But now it's just like, I wouldn't say it's a running joke, but I feel like her matches are not exciting, and there's something missing from her matches. I feel like the end result is what it is. Yeah. The last 2 minutes, it's like she doesn't know how to end a match, or no one knows how to end a match. It's like Falcon Arrow, maybe a knee hit, another knee hit.
Maybe that's all she
something
does.
Something different.
Yeah. I'm over here disrespecting Meteora Banks, but you know, you got fucking running knee strike Cheetah over here. That's all she does. But I agree with you, man. I think it's time to switch it up. And her matches, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. So that's just the spectrum where Sheeta's at. So,
yeah, but I'll say this, though, too. Like, I have to cut you off. I wouldn't want Abaddon as that champion right now. I feel like she needs a little bit more development. I think I hate to say this. I hate to say this. But because I don't feel the way you do about her. But I think you missed an opportunity last week with Anna Jay.
Bro, I've been saying it. Like, yeah, you missed the bro, can you imagine? Even even though we know the first match she had in AEW was her 7th professional wrestling match, yeah, that's cool, but you could still put the strap on her and still give storyline, have her put on some decent matches. She didn't look bad against Sheeta. It was just time constraints, bro. And you would have kept the belt relevant, and you would have still, you know, had another champion. And you could have been working her up and a lot of people around. But yeah, it missed out, man.
Plus the Dark Order behind her as well, too. Bro. Could have added to her story.
Plus the Dark Order, man. This is the type of universe that I live in. Can you imagine John Silver winning the ring, Anna Jay with the belt doing the fucking meme, and then, you know, the hand shit, like, ha. Like, yeah.
Picking her up on his shoulder, his midget ass.
Give me that all day, bro. Oh, man, I don't know. But yeah, we agree that, yeah, I'm gonna say it for you, Kenny Omega, get your shit together. You slacking with the female division, bro. Honestly. Yeah. And so yeah, let's just jump into this little co-main event, bro. Like, how'd you feel about this match?
We could pass the match because the match itself was irrelevant.
Yeah, the match was trash.
The match.
Yeah.
But Darby Allin and Darby. Cody Rhodes. You know what? We'll do this little quick tip. I know we were talking on the chat. Darby Allin as TNT champion. Is it doing it for you?
No, it's not. No, okay. It's not like, yeah, since he became TNT champion, the belt has not been paraded on TNT where it should be, because you're the TNT champion. At least Cody Rhodes, I give him that much. He was out there defending it, you know, giving everybody opportunity title shots. I guess it's something very different because of the appearances, but it's became irrelevant in my eyes. How'd you feel?
Yeah, same here. I feel like there's something there with Darby, but he's been kind of relegated to these tag team matches with Cody, which makes no sense to me. Like, I understand what they're doing with Team Taz, but at the end of the day, this is a champion. And he looks like he's playing a second fiddle to Cody Rhodes. And unfortunately, anybody who tags with Cody these days is going to play second fiddle. But as a champion, you should have some kind of, like, I don't know, like, just some pizzazz to you, something that shows that you are our champion. Hell, Ricky Starks looks like 1,000% of a world heavyweight champion, yet he's the one that takes the L in this match. Straight up, I will say this.
Upsetting, yeah.
Powerhouse Hobbs, horrible outfit, but you know what? He didn't look bad wrestling. Ricky Starks, fantastic, great ring IQ, was really being a ring general too for Powerhouse Hobbs. Mm-hmm. My biggest takeaway from this match, Ricky Starks should have never been in this match. I was thinking in my head, like, well, you could have just made a monster team for these two. You could have had Cage and Hobbs together,
yeah,
and done your fucking Rock and Vin Diesel Fast and Furious to take over these two. But no. And I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe they're protecting, you know, the FTW title. Maybe they're protecting Brian Cage. Maybe that's why he's not here. But no, Ricky Starks gets the L. Cage comes out anyway. I'm like, why weren't you in this match? Why did you have to sacrifice Ricky Starks for?
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, that's very upsetting, the fact that Ricky Starks got pinned. Right now, my man Powerhouse Hobbs could have fucking taken the loss. You know what I'm saying? Out the two, he could have taken the loss. It's nothing. He's still young. He just came up from AEW Dark, so you can just incorporate that. Like, you still have a lot to learn, Hobbs. You get what I'm saying? Or make him do, like, some stupid rookie mistake so you can still sit here and incorporate him with Ricky Starks and in this team with Taz and everything. Like, we'll teach you, Hobbs. But Ricky Starks, who comes out here, I don't even know, I'm not going to say 4 foot nothing, but 5 foot something, and he towers over everybody in that ring with presence, how he wrestles. Yep. I'm not going to say Cody Rhodes, but how he wrestles, charisma exudes, bro. He is much bigger than the FTW fucking group, honestly. And then you go and pin him? You pin him clean? Bro, you did nothing to save him. Man, this terrible. Terrible results by AEW. These are the results that piss me off. He should have been going. You want to put the TNT title on the TV? You got to have him and Ricky Starks beefing. Kobe, hear me. Darby Allin, and I'm getting a little too hyped because I'm pissed. Darby Allin and Ricky Starks going to town every Wednesday for that strap, man. Start that rivalry, damn it. You had it going on a few weeks ago. Why are you not capitalizing on it? I don't know, man.
I mean, there's a lot of things you didn't capitalize on this match. They could have went with the whole disqualification finish and had Brian Cage just interrupt the whole damn match.
Exactly.
Like, at the end of the day, the match is irrelevant because what happened afterwards? What happens afterwards? Well, everybody, y'all should know already, but of course, fucking Brian Cage comes out all beefy with his fucking FTW orange attire. Taz
like
comes out.
Character 12.
They're about to all jump each other. There was this awkward situation where, like, they beat up Darby. And then I guess they missed the mark because Hobbs still had the title waiting to, like, whack him. Yeah, right. So it's like 10 seconds of, like, just pick him back up.
And him looking at the title and then missing the mark with the music not hitting. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
this is uncomfortable, bro. Yeah,
it was. And then, of course, the lights go out. All right. Now, I want your reaction. This is the whole reason why I wanted the podcast. We could have, like, just passed over everything else and just talked about the last two things. But here we go. Just for you, I want to share your reaction. Lights go out. What did you think at first? What happened? Like, who did you think it was at first?
Honestly, lights went out. I didn't have nobody in mind because for the people that came out in AEW, some of them have been fucking mind blowing, but some of them haven't. You get what I'm saying? So I was just a little flabbergasted. Honestly, the most epic appearance in AEW for me was Matt Hardy, but this was up there with the Matt Hardy. So I didn't know who to expect, but once I saw, I was like, the Baron freaking scenarios, and I'm like, yeah, it has to be Sting, bro. It has to be Sting. So, and we've heard murmurs of Sting coming up and stuff like that, and little behold, here comes fucking Sting. It spells out in the screen, and I lost my shit, bro. I don't know about anybody else out there, but this was like, for 2020, this was honestly the what the hell moment. You get what I'm saying? Like, you're really here, and it was just such a feel-good moment. I put my phone down. I just soaked it all up. I was fucking shocked when I saw Sting, because we heard, but I didn't think he legit was going to come up, you know, into AEW. So I was surprised and shocked as hell. How did you feel?
I was happy. Like, I had a feeling. I didn't think it was going to be him at first when the lights went out. But when the promo video happened, I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. Love the promo video. It was very different. This is the first time we've seen like an ice version of him, almost like Glacier. Like, we were even joking, like, oh, yeah, it's Glacier, yeah. Which would have been awesome. I would have been happy as hell. I would have marked out even harder if it was Glacier throwing super kicks.
Where super kicks, the little laser lights hit the snow. Yo, I would have been like, yes, yeah, Glacier, give me everything. I
think everybody else would have marked out hard as well, too. But, you know, we get. Stings comes out and he looks phenomenal. He has a trench coat. He has a brand new AEW shirt. This is, I guess, you know, quote, which, you know, wink, wink, he was signed already.
Yeah, exactly. So the merch, and I know everybody went ballistic for that merch, because that's like the hottest selling tee right now, 24 hours, yep. I heard.
Yep. I believe it's right now in North America. It was like the fastest selling t-shirt in North America so far. That was that record.
No, look at that shit.
So you're looking at that, you have Sting comes out, the makeup, the attire. Were you a little disappointed that you didn't get, since you had like the whole winter is coming, the whole snow theme in the background, did you want like a blue and black, blue, white and black Sting, something a little bit different, or were you happy with the traditional Sting colors?
I mean, the traditional Sting's hits, you know, for that childhood, WCW days and stuff like that, that was all awesome. I'm not opposed to it, but, you know, just to honor the theme, you could have had this dude come out, look like a fucking hooligan from Game of Thrones, you know, those monsters or whatever, have him coming out like that, like some icy blue pale Sting. Bro, I would have marked out even more, like, oh my God! You get what I'm saying? Like, you dead sticking to this winter theme. So, but it's cool though, Hopefully we may get a little color, but I wouldn't be opposed to a little color. How did you feel about it?
You know what? I was happy because it's very familiar, and I was thinking to like myself, like, I would have loved like a snow version of Sting, but at the end of the day, you know, for people who want like actually to lose their shit, they lost their shit seeing this. Like, the internet broke, you know, everything was just Sting crazy. The crowd that wasn't intense was happy as hell. Tony Schiavone lost his fucking mind.
He did.
That was the best. Yes, he almost lost his fucking voice.
Yo, like, yeah, honestly, this is just me being just a geek and marking out. Would it have worked if you would have came out with like a Jon Snow coat in the bat, like, just to
get to the winter? Yes, yes, straight up. If he would have had like the Night Watch outfit on, just like a furry ass coat. Yeah. Like, if Cody's dog came out, what's his dog, Pharaoh?
Yeah, Pharaoh.
Cody's
yeah.
dog came out with him and hands him the bat. And so I'm like, all right, I would have died. I'm like, you know what? I don't need to see wrestling anymore in my life. This is it. Like, this is it. But I digress. This is what we got, and I'm happy with it. The snow falls, icy, you know, things are happening everywhere. Sting comes into the ring, no physicality, he just empties out the ring with the bat, just doing nothing. Points at Arn, which I love, like, just seeing him and Arn together, just having that history, that feud from the past, the Four Horsemen, that was there. Him going to Cody with that respect, because Cody has stated that Sting was his favorite wrestler growing up.
Yep.
And then, so that must have been like a phenomenal experience for him right there.
Oh, yeah.
And then just the foreshadowing, which I say, felt like that was going to happen regardless. We got that with the Darby Allin in the rafters and in the bleacher seats and chilling out and whatnot. So we get like the passing of the guard almost, which I wish they would have done that. I wish it would have been maybe too much too soon. But no. It would have been very cool if he would have gave him the bat.
Yes, that's what I was waiting for. I mean, We saw his ominous presence. The snow was phenomenal. The icy chill of death that comes along with Sting. We saw that. That's how captivating he is. You get what I'm saying? Not a lot of people command that, and he's one of them. So that was awesome. But can you just imagine, like you said, it's been rumored. Can you imagine if right there you had fans in attendance? That would have been a feel-good moment for the fans. If he would have just sat here, that icy stare, gave him his approval, backed up, and gave him the bat, and just like walked away or some shit. Oh man, that would have been epic.
And then Darby gives him the skateboard, and Sting tries to like wood push out of there. Wood push the snowflake.
Oh my god, wood pushing some Kid Cudi, bro. Like,
I want to see promo videos, black and white, with Sting and Albert Ramp just chilling with Darby out there. I need that in my life right now.
I'm so done. I'm done.
All right. So I'm gonna throw this to you real quick. We'll get to the main event. Does Sting wrestle one more match?
I say so. One. Yeah, I say one. It's very tricky. We know the conditions that he was in his last matches in WWE. He's probably one fucking Irish whip away from a paraplegic. You get what I'm saying? But like, I think it's something that everybody's clamoring for. Even if it's like you said that you were talking to me, or I think you said it on the podcast, you're afraid for a Ric Flair, you know, because he's just probably going to wild out and hit me with the belt. Like, even if it's on some little quick hot tag, you know, Stinger drop this, Stinger drop that, I think that'll be enough because we know he can't take much hits. But damn it, I would love to see it. That's just the mark in me and the fan because I love fucking Sting. So, but it would be awesome. But you don't think we're going to see one match at least? Or like 5 minutes or something?
I do. He had the gear on. I know he was feeling it. I know people want to see him with the gear on and go wrestle. Mm-hmm. I think if that wasn't the case, he would just came out with some like black jeans or something like that.
Yeah.
So like that's something there. And I think he just needs that win. Because if you look at Sting, like his last run in WWE, I think there were two losses, right? Maybe he got one win. I don't remember, but I think there were two losses. Seth and Triple H.
Yeah, that was all salty fucking business from McMahon, bro. That's all it was. Sorry.
I think they'll go. No, it's true though. And I think AEW will go head over heels trying to get the perfect match for Sting to win, which I think he deserves. Like, if he has one match in him left that you can just throw a lot of bells and whistles but make him look good, I think AEW will bend over backwards to do so. That deserves to be on pay-per-view, not a fucking Dynamite. I don't care.
No, yeah. I think I lost you, buddy.
Oh. If that has to be on like a Revolution pay-per-view or Double or Nothing or anything like that, it has to be on the pay-per-view.
That has to be on pay-per-view, mandatory. No ifs, ands, or buts. That has to be. You have a player like Sting appear, and if you put him on a Dynamite, not only is it disrespect to your product, and it's also disrespect to Sting. You want that prize fighter on your pay-per-view. You have to find the right player for him, but definitely pay-per-view, bro.
Okay, now I was going to ask you that question to follow up. Who? Who be your roster right now deserves that final match with Sting?
Probably Cody Rhodes. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you read my mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think just it has to be Cody Rhodes. You know, Cody Rhodes has done so much in AEW with that TNT title and just so he can mark out, just have that feel good moment. Like I wrestled my favorite, you know, wrestler growing up, and this is his last match. I'm honored to do this. So I think it has to be Cody Rhodes, in my opinion. And it'll be a safe match, you know? So I think it's Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. But I think it has to be heel Cody.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It has to be heel Cody for his work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like heel Cody and heel Arn against Sting.
Yeah.
God, that just give me like 3 months of build and I'll be happy.
The build has to be phenomenal. So, which that's a good segue question for me to ask you into the main event. But yeah, it has to be Cody. We're both in agreement. And I don't know. Let's see where it goes from here. Let's see how the interaction between him and Dobby goes. So I don't know. But overall, feel good moment for everybody. So
what was the segue you want to go into?
So the segue into the main event, we were talking about builds. Do you feel that the builds for the main event between John Moxley and Kenny Omega was good?
I think it was decent. I think we both were hyped about it. I felt that the the row two special they had mm-hmm. was a little heavy on Moxley rather than Kenny. And maybe it's like, I know you say that it's all written, but Kenny Omega's character is written a certain way, so maybe that's also inclusive as well too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, I think the build was there. I would have appreciated a little bit a long-term build, and that's hard to say. I know fans are gonna be like, "Well, they have a long-term feud. They were feuding last year with their match, and it was like didn't count." I'm like, "Well, yeah, but like an on-screen feud, like even if it was like just subtle looks at each other throughout like the year, like little things, like corner of the eye bullshit,
little bumps into that would have been fun, stuff like that.
Yes, yeah. Things like that to like kindly get into here. Mm-hmm. But we didn't really get that. We kind of got like a feud that was made within like a month's mm-hmm. end. I don't mind it, and it's a match that I wanted to see. But I feel like the person that was really selling this feud to me was Moxley. Like, he drew me in. He was like, "If you're gonna beat me to death." So I was sold on Moxley as a champion selling this fight.
I mean, I feel the build was decent. And looking back at it now, the countdown and the preview on YouTube was phenomenal. That got me hyped. But like you said, you opened my eyes, so it was very Moxley heavy. Maybe that's just the way it's being portrayed, and to protect Moxley, which Moxley, bro, golden boy. He coming out of this unscathed, regardless of what happens. But I felt it needed a little bit more. Maybe that's what it was. Like you said, maybe it should have been built up a little bit longer. I don't care about the lights out matches that y'all had unsanctioned and all that stuff. But like you said, some little bumpings into the corridors, you know, just opening a random door, bumping to each other. Oh, okay. Knocking the belt over, just looking at it or picking it up, you know, and then handing it over to him or some shit where, bro, you know how we work here. Just put a little broom by his locker room, Moxley's locker room or something. Just random mm-hmm. stuff like that to build to it so we can get to that. It was decent. It was there, but I felt that it wasn't what it should have been. And I think you hit the nail on the head for a perfect caveat that it should have been a little bit longer. But how did you feel about the match?
So the match was good. You know what? There was a lot of things that was riding on for me. Like, you know, we got the storytelling with Don Callis mm-hmm. On commentary. He's been doing commentary work for all Kenny Omega matches on AEW, so I feel like that shows a little personality to Kenny Omega as well too. He has somebody on his side rather than a Young Bucks, so
yeah.
I thought that was cool. The entrance, I thought it could have been bigger. I wanted the entrances to be a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. But that's just me though. I felt like this was a big time match, so go to town. I felt like Kenny Omega's entrance felt a little rushed, in my opinion. Like, he should have just went to town with the girls, confetti everywhere. Like, this is his coronation in a way, right? Well, you know, but I digress. We got that. The match starts, and I don't mind the match. Like, it was a very different match that I think people wanted. I love chain wrestling. I love submission wrestling. I love joint manipulation. I like when they go out there and they work on body parts, and that's part of the story. That's the art of wrestling that I grew up on mm-hmm. and I love them the most, like Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Owen Hart, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Bob Backlund, you know, even if you want to go into the NWA with other people, you know, the Koloffs and whatnot, Iron Sheiks and whatnot, you know, you go on and on and on. I love joint manipulation, even now with Marty Scurll. Ooh, you're not supposed to say his name anymore.
He who shall not be named. No,
exactly. Pete Dunne, there you go. That's another reference there for somebody recent.
Your boy Thatcher, bro.
You know, yes, Tiffany Thatcher as well, mm-hmm. too. Joint manipulation. I love submission base or just like joint manipulation wrestling. Texas catch can wrestling.
Hey, so you gotta show,
this match was like that.
Gianna Perrazzo, sorry. Like, you gotta show the show.
Oh, Virtuosa, well. Yeah, hell Virtuosa. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, sorry.
One of the best Creole pile drivers since fucking Jerry Lynn. So I'm very happy.
Bro,
with that.
Yeah, I saw that Creole pile driver. I was like, yo, she knows how to deliver it. So sorry, continue.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, and there'll be some more impact talk. So, we go into this match, a lot of, you know, working on the legs, working on joints, a lot of submission-based wrestling, chokes. The story of the match was Moxley having won over on Omega. Anything that Omega mm-hmm. did, Moxley had a counter for it, or he had the wrestling knowledge to kind of back away from something like that. When Kenny Omega was trying to do one of his, you know, tope suicidas, Moxley got out of the way. Mm-hmm. When Moxley went for his finishing maneuvers, Kenny Omega kind of reversed it. So it was a back and forth, but Moxley was always getting the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was a little too slow paced for a Kenny Omega match. And sometimes, like my boy Jeremy, we shout out him as well too on the podcast. He made an excellent point as well too. Like, once you see a Moxley match, you see them all.
Agreed.
I feel like this year, I can say the same for Kenny Omega. Like, I've seen the same Kenny Omega match all year as well, too. Like, you know, V-Trigger, Wong Lin Angel, call it a day. So, like, I appreciate that Omega was doing something different in this match. It was very methodical. Everything that they were doing was very methodical. And I think, to me, it paid off with the last 10 minutes with the whole clothesline exchange, V-Trigger, paradigm shifts, attempts, until we got the paradigm shift to the outside.
Onto Don the Collins
comes out. Listen to the heaters. They were making a big deal about these fucking heaters.
Oh my God, paradise.
This is the first match. It's 40 degrees out here in Florida. We got heaters outside. So that heater came into play. Good storytelling. Good foreshadowing right there from JR.
Well,
he gets paradigm shift barely onto the heater. They say he hit the side of his face. He's hurt. So Don Callis comes down, concerned. And I was super happy about this. I'm like, ooh, we're getting a swerve with Don Callis, a little interaction. Yeah. Okay. I will say, though, they got me just a little bit. They got me a little bit because I even thought with all the interference with Don Callis, with Kenny, I still thought that Moxley was going to win. And I didn't want it to happen. So I was already feeling like sour grapes. So I was like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we get the subtle, you know, hit from Moxley to Callis. So that was great. The mic was mysteriously thrown to... A microphone was mysteriously thrown to Kenny Omega.
That was magic. That was
Omega
slight,
pops him. Like, that was one of the best pops I've heard ever. Like, poof.
I agree with you. I haven't heard a pop like that in a mic in a minute, bro.
Makes the man bleed. When goes V-Trigger crazy? Like, he has, like, the special remote you got from GameStop that's on hyper mode. And just unleashes hell with knees out of nowhere. Hits the Wong Lin Angel. Gets the pin. And runs away with the title with Don Callis. Okay, I won't even go after the match, but tell me, how did you feel about this?
Honestly, just listening to it now and just replaying it in my head, because I haven't got a chance to go back and watch it again a second time. I was hard on it, you know, in the heated moment, but this match was beautiful, bro. This match was amazing because this match was storytelling at its best, a la Kenny Omega. Like you said, you know, all the points that I wanted to touch, you touched them phenomenally. That was the build. This is the best bout fucking match wrestler machine to date. It was based on this. It was okay. We know John Moxley, CZW, whatever, hitting dudes with blenders in the face and stuff like that. He's a savage. He's a beast. Here comes the best bout machine. He says, leave all that behind. I want you to give me a pure wrestling match to see if you're really that good, to see if you're worthy to be the champion. Beat me in a wrestling match. Leave all those props. You get what I'm saying? So it was built on that. And then when it gets down to the nitty gritty, he's actually a step ahead of him. So it doesn't show him that he's a brute. It shows him that he's a phenomenal wrestler. That's why I love the storytelling. A step ahead of him. And everything that he tried to do, you saw it. You saw the frustration growing. My opinion, when they sat down and they had the gentleman's agreement, which they kept reinforcing the whole match, and they were slapping each other, punching each other, then Omega snapped once he got up off the chair and hit him with the V-trigger. That's when he said, I got to do something desperate. I can't go toe-to-toe with him. You get what I'm saying? He's actually matching me right now. So at that moment, he snapped, and that's when you just started seeing everything just go downhill, that he had to start doing the chicken shit heel tactics and stuff like that. So it was good. It was good. It was good storytelling when you see Don Callis come in. I don't know how, on some Mr. Compress, the mic got to Kenny Omega. Like, and then he just popped him with the mic, and then him snapping, going V-trigger crazy. Like, bro, like, I'm supposed to be the best mouth machine, but you're out here. I got to cheat to beat you. And just, you know, like, going to town on him with the V-trigger. Then, like you said, my moment of the match was, is he going to kick out once he hit the one winged angel? I, like, sat down on the edge of the seat like that meme. Like, I went forward, like, are you going to kick out? So the one winged angel is still protected. That's cool. That's phenomenal. And then the after shenanigans, it was just so phenomenal. I'll let you get into it, and then I'll just give you my feels of how, like, everything went down after.
Great match. You know, now that I processed it over again as well, too, I felt like it was a great match. Mm-hmm. Great storytelling. The only disappointing factor that I have with the match would be this. I would have rather seen Kenny Omega bring the chairs in rather than Moxley, because that made Moxley look like he was a little too desperate.
Yeah.
And in this eyes, with Moxley being like, you know, the renegade, the guy that just goes out there, you know, puts his heart out there in the match and lives by the sword, dies by the sword. Yeah. it felt weird. It felt like out of place a little bit. Not out of place for a Moxley character, but just for this match specifically, like a gentleman's agreement, like you said. It just felt out of place. Now, if it was Omega feeling desperate enough that he can't get the edge over Moxley, you know, PW Insider's Wrestler of the Year, you know, that would have made sense. Yeah. And then, you know, Moxley could have set up the chairs and then the slap-a-thon that they did. Mm-hmm. That would have been fine. So that's the only caveat that I have on that match. Other than that, it worked out phenomenally. They do the heist of the century. They lose the title. Don Callis goes into the backstage. I think Alex Marvez catches him in the back and says, hey, you know, what do you have to say about this? What's going on? And he was like, all right, if you want any questions for me to answer or Kenny Omega to answer, you can catch us next Tuesday. And then Alex Marvez, just like all of us, were like, Dynamite's on Wednesday. Yeah. What are you talking about? And it's like, no, Tuesday on Impact. They get into the car, and that car sped like it was on fast forward. Bro, whoever was in that car, they took off reckless abandonment. It was the best.
Yo, the driver, God bless your soul, because you added more to the heist feeling, bro. He added so much. Whoever it was, he or she, bro, they added to the element of heist. Honestly, and it just went so well. Like you said, that's one thing I felt. It left me, I mean, I was going Kenny Omega. It left me as if I saw a heist, a robbery. I'm like, what is going on? We haven't really seen somebody storm with a belt out of the arena in a long time. And little behold, Kenny Omega and his storytelling, here we go. We're getting this. And he's storming out. And then everybody else in the backstage like, what's going on? What happened? Blah, blah, blah. And he doesn't give a fuck, bro. He's hightailing with his tail up his ass in the belt. And he's ghost. And then Don Callis adds so much more to it, bro. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, what did I just watch, bro? I just saw a robbery. And then the bomb for Tuesday night on Impact, just like, oh my God. And then the car's feeding off. Beautiful. That's why I'm like, yo, it was a phenomenal match in my feeling. It touched all my senses where it still had me this morning feeling like, bro, we saw a robbery last night. But, and it's just, we've heard Impact. We've heard the Good Brothers. They've been very vocal that they want to work with other organizations. They want to work with New Japan. They want to work with AEW. They've said, we may get this now. We may get this now. We know Good Brothers and Omega, you know, they're cool and everything. It's nothing but good times for wrestling right now, bro, honestly. So I'm looking forward to Impact. We always give Impact love here, but now it's just a must, honestly, that we have to see this, honestly.
You know, yes. I will say, though, I was feeling a little apprehensive at first. I even told you that. Mm-hmm. Because, like, and now a day afterwards, I feel a little more calm about it. Like, I'm looking at the bright side of it and how it's really great for professional wrestling as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, as an industry, this is phenomenal for professional wrestling. At first, I was looking like, well, Impact's our thing. Like, Impact's our little corner right here. Like, they've been doing fine, like, not ruffling up any feathers. They're just in their own world, and it works in their own world, and I think we love it because of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost hidden. It's like a little secret.
That's true.
And, like, now it's like, all right, they're going to get a lot of exposure. And in my head, I'm like, this can make or break them, too, because they're going to...
Are you ready for this exposure?
Like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, are you ready for more eyes to come from TNT or just the wrestling world to come on Access TV or try to get Access TV or try to watch it any way possible? And the first thing you're going to see is Tommy Dreamer with a fucking cap on and Mac.
Yeah. Like, what? No, bro.
Bro, but think about it, though. No. We love it. Think about it. We love it. That's us, though. Like, that, because we, that's us. Like, you know, Hornswoggle doing fucking AJ Styles. We love it. That's us. But when you... You got people out there that kind of just want to watch some wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's the first shit you get. That might fuck up Impact, bro.
Nah, bro. I mean, I get you. Yeah, we love it. That's the thing. And honestly, like, we know Tommy Dreamer is living his best life right now with this whole Detective Dreamer gimmick. But you're correct. You know, wrestling fans can be very critical because... Go ahead.
No. That was a funny comment to make.
Yeah, and you're right, bro. When they tune in next Tuesday, because they will tune in, and the first thing they see is the We Nominal one come out. followed up by a segment of possibly my man, Johnny Swinger with a gat. what kind of crazy madhouse is this over here, bro? But you know what? It works, damn it. Watch it with an open mind. That's all we're saying. Watch Tuesday Impact with an open mind and you'll be sold. But honestly, I want to see what's gonna happen, because I know you mentioned Rich Swann, but I think Rich Swann is safe, man. I think Rich Swann is safe. I think him and Omega will put on good matches if we get a champion versus champion, which most likely it will happen. But I'm looking forward to it, bro. Honestly, right now, I am as bamboozled as everybody was when Don Callis said Tuesday night. We're like, what the heck is gonna go on? We know Omega is gonna go to Mexico for Triple Mania. I don't know, bro. It's crazy times for wrestling right now.
Ooh, I just you stopped me right there too, because I was going to mention something, but I just had to recollect
my fault
and remember that he went to fucking Triple Mania. I was going to say, do we see Omega at Final Resolution? Which no,
they were not
unless it's taped. Unless it's taped, then maybe that would be pretty awesome. What do you got to lose for a taped card?
True,
right? but if it's not. How crazy would that be?
A tape card can actually help them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it could.
Yeah, a tape card with Omega on it can actually do leaps and bounds for them. So we'll see if it's going to be.
There's no fans.
Exactly.
No fans will spoil it either.
Yeah, no fans will spoil it. Tape. This is, if played right, like you said, they have to play this right. And a taped event, Final Resolution, will help them out wonderfully, bro. Honestly.
And you can bring people onto that Impact Plus subscription, boost numbers, saying, hey, we have Kenny Omega wrestling, or even defending the AEW title on Final Resolution.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll do it, because, like you said, Triple Mania, and I don't think they want to mess with that either.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to have eyes going to Triple Mania for that. But, like, they didn't even mention that. Like, that hasn't been touted. Maybe they're treating that like New Japan, where they're kind of keeping it separate.
They are.
Where, like... Yeah. I think so, because they wouldn't have mentioned it. Like, I don't know, man, because the internet mentions it. Like, everyone's calling him Two Belts Kenny now. Two Belts Omega. I don't know.
That's the hashtag, Two Belt Omega. I'm with it. No, I mean...
But wait, just to your point, what you said about Rich Swann, I am conflicted about that, because now I feel like, man, like, you're trying to sell Final Resolution. You have Rich Swann and Chris Bay. It's going to be a great fucking match. You have a pedestal for Chris Bay to be up there, and... He may not win, but he may get the rub off to be a main event player now. So that's going to be phenomenal on his part right there. You have Moose in the background as well, too, considering himself with the World Heavyweight Champion. So it's like, it's a little, in my opinion, this is just me, though. It just feels a little convoluted having another world champion on that card with all these key players with a pay-per-view coming up next Saturday. So it's like, oof, it's like, we have a lot to do. We have a lot to do.
Yeah, we do have a lot to do. But I mean... A lot can happen from this, bro, because we know Chris Bay, TJP, they're going to go to New Japan for the Super J Cup and do their thing out there. But, you know, you also have the Machine Gun Carl Anderson, where he said, I got friends too. So we don't know if we're getting a tape card, or we don't know if Omega's going to pop up on Final Resolution, or if somebody from New Japan might fucking come over. You get what I'm saying? Something. It's. I don't know what to say, but I get you. I get you where it's a lot. It's very convoluted. But I think it can work. And if they're pulling it off, I think they have something, because Omega, the Good Brothers, bro, these are dudes that have phenomenal minds for the business. You get what I'm saying? So... I think it could work. I agree. I think it could work, man, honestly. So I think, honestly, from here, the only way is up. You know, where Impact is at, we love Impact. I would never shit on Impact, but from here, it's up for Impact. Unless we get Tommy Dreamer in a monocle and stuff. Like, but it's going to work. It's going to work, I have a feeling.
Okay, so here's another question I posed to you. I agree with you. I think this is great for wrestling. You know, AEW has said it. Cody Rhodes has said it. Like, his goal is to build up professional wrestling, not just AEW. And he's said many times that he's seen what happens when one monopoly controls everything. Mm-hmm. And he's not trying to do that. So I respect the people behind, like, the minds behind AEW, the Tony Khans, Cody Rhodes, even Kenny Omega to a time, to the Young Bucks.
I was going to ask you
that. They want to see tag team wrestling.
Yeah, because the Young Bucks are kind of turning into Cody Rhodes for the open challenge, given the Acclaim, the Hybrid 2, Top Flight, you know, shots. I was going to ask you that because I know you're very old school and you love your old school wrestling and you always talk about the prestige. Do you at least, like, feel happy some way, some shape, form, deep down inside that Omega is kind of being, like, that territory wrestler? You know, like, back in the days where he's just going around and stuff like that?
Yes, but I'll tell you this, bro. I also feel it's like a slap in the face.
Okay.
Because you have that person already, and they're not using them. With your boy, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis.
Oh, yeah, that's facts. That's facts. True.
And like he's supposed to be that person. That belt that he has around his waist every day is the belt of a traveling champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like NWA once again gets kind of like the shit end of the stick. Even though they're using their girls properly and some of the guys from NWA, like, you know, Nick Aldis, for whatever reason it is, has not made an AEW appearance. And I don't think he would want to make an Impact appearance again after how that ended as well, too. So it's like, because then he doesn't want to be called Magnus again. So, like, he already has shed that skin away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I can't help feel for the guy because the dude is a phenomenal wrestler. And he's been putting in that twerk with that title for all these years already. And he's so much of an afterthought after tonight. And we're having Kenny Omega as his traveling champion. And I just can't help wonder, like, how does he feel? But to answer your question, I'm happy to see Omega get in that spot. I think he deserves that spot. Another thing that I just love as well, too, is the collaboration of different organizations trying to better the world of professional wrestling and the fans. Yeah, people like FTR, who have been touting since they got to AEW, they wanted to say, hey, the first tag team that we want to fight, like that we can't fight right now, the North. They've been saying it since they got to AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that happened with Kenny Omega and that promo from Don Callis saying tune into Impact, FTR tweeted the North.
The North, yeah. We saw that, yeah. I mean, just to add a little caveat to you, to your Nick Aldis, and we can move on. I don't think we've seen Nick Aldis appear on AEW because it would be too convoluted, like you said about Impact. I think Nick Aldis coming up, it would just be too convoluted. You would have too many players. You would have another strap. You already got the FTW. You got their heavyweight title. You got the TNT title. So it would just be like a smorgasbord. And then if you look at the players, then it's like, who are you going to throw in Nick Aldis, or how is he going to make this approach to come up there? You get what I'm saying? So I think he hasn't appeared because they just don't know how to interject him, maybe, or it's just too much, you know, clutter right now. But Nick Aldis is phenomenal. I agree with you 1,000%, but we can move on.
He is, bro. He is. And like, I don't know, maybe not. Like, they've been using the NWA women's title and they've been defending that on pay-per-views or fucking pre-shows and dynamites. And I wouldn't want to see that for Nick Aldis either. But do I feel like there's a spot for him? I definitely feel like that. I feel like you have that third match with Cody that's still lingering in the air. That could be a thing right there. So just to get the hat trick out of the way, there's a couple of people that you're not using in AEW that could really go for that spotlight with Nick Aldis. You know, they don't have to be heavy hitters. But, you know, somewhere down the middle of the lane, like your Joey Janela's of the world, your Sean Spears of the world, your Sunny Kisses of the world, your Jungle Boys, you know, Luchasaurus, MJF.
Your Scorpio Skies and stuff like that.
Scorpio Skies, Kazarians. Like, you have a whole bunch of people that are middle of the row, but you throw a Nick Aldis in there, bro, he'll make them all shine. And then you have the way of that prestigious title on the line as well, too. You're just building more stars. But I can also say that he, as a champion, if he has any kind of control over his career, he probably would not want to go to AEW because he's going to look like second fiddle to the world champion when he's supposed to be the world champion. So I can understand that.
Let's do an NWA takeover invasion.
I'm down. My man Trevor Murdoch comes out.
Ricky Starks is the mole.
Yes, down. Been down.
I'm done. But yeah, I mean, getting back to the main event, overall, it was good. I haven't got these feels in such a long time in the wrestling world, so that's why looking back at it now and sitting here, that's why I'm happy that we did this. I'm looking at it, and it was a phenomenal match. It was just beautiful poetry in motion, in my opinion. So let's just see where we go from here.
Here's a question I pose to you before we end this off right now. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me just how I can word this. Do you feel that AEW is at a level where they could turn eyes from either Monday or Friday?
Yes. Okay. The and I just say this because the way the product is on Monday and Friday, it's not very good. So what they're doing on Wednesday is phenomenal. And it's definitely they can turn over Fridays. That's a gimme. They could turn over Fridays. Monday, they have to, you know, buff up a little bit things, but they can do it. And this is why I say they say in the world we're at now, maybe it's not happening, but if we didn't have this whole pandemic, can you just imagine an AEW without travel restrictions? That's why I'm saying it. So I feel that if we weren't in this world right now, an AEW without travel restrictions would definitely turn heads Monday and Fridays. What do you think?
I definitely believe it. Even without the travel restrictions, I feel like they'll blow out Monday. Maybe not Friday. I think Friday they'll have a harder time. I think Friday's a horrible time slot.
For wrestling.
That's just my opinion.
Because it's like, who's on Friday watching wrestling? I mean,
we all are now. But
we
like,
all are now. But back then, you know, growing up as a young whippersnapper in the Bronx, you and I don't remember us watching Friday Night SmackDown that much. You know, like
that was Thursdays for us.
Yeah, that was Thursday. Yeah, we was chilling and shit. But yeah, but sorry, we got you off.
Nah, so I think a Friday they'll have a big hard time, but Monday definitely. But here's another question I pose. Do you think they want to?
Nah, I think they're playing it safe right now where they're at. I feel that they're they trust their product, they back their product, they know their product is good, but right now I feel that they're probably thinking to themselves that we're not ready to make this run for a Monday or a Friday. What do you think?
You know, I don't even think they need it, to be honest. Like at this point right now, if I'm Cody Rhodes, if I'm Tony Khan, and I'm looking at the wrestling world right now and how maybe if you had some like sympathy for NXT because you know that they actually produce good wrestling, you would want to move it for them because you want to see that brand grown away. So like I would understand that. Like I could understand that. I could understand Cody and how his father was so attached to NXT, you know?
Yeah.
And wanted to see that product of a new generation get some shine because he knows for a fact that anybody that does get called up is going to be treated like shit. So this is their only time to shine. Mm-hmm. So I could see that sympathy, but at the same time, I don't think they want to move to Monday because why? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, yeah, we have a ratings war. No one cares about the ratings war right now. Mm-hmm. Everything is about cord cutting. Like, in my mind, I think they should be looking at, okay, cord cutting is happening. Let's see what our options are. Okay, yeah, TNT has a streaming service. I want to make sure that our next show that we have right now goes on that TNT app. Mm-hmm. So that way, boom, our Friday night, our Monday night, our Tuesday night show is only on that TNT app. Like, I would be making moves like that, the smart moves. I wouldn't be even wanting to try to even want to challenge WWE because that's just to get your nut off. Yeah, you'll win a couple, you'll lose a couple, but at the end of the day, it's not helping anything. The only thing that's going to help is WWE because they'll probably try to get their act together. But why? Like, you want to succeed as your own company.
No, it would basically be if they would try to attempt to take a shot at Mondays, it'll just basically be a Ted Turner all over again. But basically, you know, a McMahon when he souped down to the level of doing the imitation and taking the shots. You get what I'm saying? Like, if you feel comfortable, you don't have to do that shenanigans. So that's why, you know, AEW is comfortable where they're at. And I don't think they should move, bro. Honestly, like you said, that's what they should do. Work up the streamer. And honestly, bro, you have AEW Dark. Work that up. Work on that. Bring some more people to that tube so they can watch AEW Dark. You get what I'm saying? So I don't know. Yeah, but nah. But I mean, they can take them in ratings, but they're good where they're at. Yeah.
So in your eyes, you look at the whole performance. You mediocrity
tap,
throughout the whole. Yeah, I want to hear that turnbuckle tap for you throughout the whole night.
Throughout the whole night, just not based on the main events.
Or Sting.
I would give it. I would give it. One turnbuckle tap.
What?
Yeah. I give it one turnbuckle tap, brother, because it was trash. What we saw yesterday was trash. I'll be harsh. I'll say it. What we saw yesterday as a card, but you promoted as winter is coming, we got a trash. That's what we got. We got a rushed event with some terrible decisions and outcome, which is two very high moments, which is Sting and the main event. That's what we got. We got trash. So I'm giving it one turnbuckle tap. How much you giving it?
I was going to give it a 2, but you know what? I'm going to give it a 1.5. I'm going to give it a 1.5. I'm going to tap it and then slightly tap it almost again. Okay. Only for the fact that did the main event deliver? It did. In its own storytelling way, it did.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does for the industry itself, yes. But that mm-hmm. doesn't excuse itself for delivering fast-paced matches with only one agenda, which was the Inner Circle, when you have a slew of talent to kind of promote.
Exactly. And I ask you this question. Is this an event that you're going to remember for good or bad? No. It'll just... You'll just only remember for Sting. Take Sting out of the equation. Will this be an event that you'll be like, oh my God, I remember Winter's Coming. John Moxley and Omega, they had that fucking beautiful match. Yeah, it's beautiful for me, but oh my God moment. And will you remember all the other stuff and the Battle Royal and the Britt Bakers and the Dobbies? Will you remember it?
No, I will not remember for anything. The only thing I'll probably remember if you take Sting out of the equation is that high speed getaway car with Kenny Omega.
Yes.
Which that's a good memory right there. But other than that, no. Like this is not even straight up. Like I was even mentioning it yesterday, like the day before in our podcast. Like, hey, like, do I feel like this is the crying achievement for Kenny Omega? No. On TV, it should not have been. And, it feels, even our boy Jeremy said it, Kenny Omega wins the title, no one cares,
yeah. You're absolutely correct, and that's why it sucks that this is his coronation and this is how we got it. Should have been on pay-per-view, but just me going on a quick tangent, I would have paid anything in the world, bro, fucking just to see Kenny Omega get his best Joker on with the title and to fucking head out the fucking car, like,
ah. Yes, yes, wave the title around, yeah,
like, ah.
But yeah. We're gonna see what happens Tuesday. We're gonna have a lot of eyes. This could be more than us. A lot of eyes in the world wrestling world to figure out what the hell is happening. Hopefully, yeah. They're not gonna judge too hard on one of our favorite products out there. But
what are you talking about? Excited. You know how wrestling fans are. Of course, it will get fucking criticized and ripped apart.
They were already ripping apart Sting. They're like, y'all mark out about WWE having Goldberg the champion, but look at AEW having Sting. First of all, fuckers, he didn't wrestle. Second of all, he didn't win the world championship for no apparent reason, mm-hmm. other than getting clout.
Yeah, exactly. That's facts, bro. So, but that's how wrestling fans are. They're always going to be toxic, especially WWE fans. Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, no, straight up. Straight up. I'll take a Star Wars fan, and I'll take a Trekkie any day, Trekker. I'll take a Trekkie any day over a wrestling fan and get into the car with them having a conversation. It's a rare occasion where I actually get a good conversation, like you and me having a good conversation about professional wrestling.
Yeah, it's very hard. You don't find those nowadays.
Anyways.
My life is good.
Let's get our cheek plugs out the way.
That's all we do. We get cheap, dirty cheap, giving them plugs.
Hell yeah, they're free for you guys. So guys, if you like the content that we just did today, covering AEW's Winter is Coming, and you want more content for us, and you want to see us step up our game a little bit, maybe production value, maybe a little this, bells and whistles here and there, please go on to Anchor. I'll send a link on. When you click the link for our podcast, there's a little Patreon page right there. If you want to donate 50 cents, if you want to donate $2, go ahead and do so. Whatever you feel that we deserve, a penny a day keeps the doctor away. That's not true. Fucking doctors are expensive. Fuck off. This is why some of y'all die.
That's why a penny a day keeps the doctor away, because they hella expensive, bro. It makes sense.
So, with that being said, if you guys want to donate anything to the podcast, rock and roll. If you don't and you just want to listen to our shenanigans, please do so. Share us. We're on every podcast nation out there when it comes to Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and of course Anchor as well too. It has a Facebook page by Elite Wrestling Audio. It also has a Twitter by EWA Podcast and an Instagram by EWA Podcast as well too. All three of those are growing traction every day. We appreciate you guys that are listening. You guys are the real MVPs. Jay, if people want to reach you and talk to you about Kenny Omega not being the cleaner, but being the getaway driver. So it was probably, was it him driving or no? It wasn't him driving, right?
No, I have to go back. I don't think it was. I think they just jumped in the back seat, bro.
It'd be great.
Oh my God, bro.
That was the highlight. But yeah, if you guys want to talk to us, well, talk to me about, you know, how Kenny Omega is not the cleaner and that it still was a beautiful match and you probably thought it was trash, you can hit me up at my Instagram, which is SunEater1A. That is S-U-N as in SunEater1A. You can hit me up at my Twitter. My Twitter handle is the same, SunEater1A. You know, hit me up at Twitter. And if you guys like a little bit of MMA, because, you know, we do our shenanigans out there too, talk about MMA at the Kimura Chronicles. The Kimura Chronicles is a podcast at its core, MMA, brought to you by Val and I, that has a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and that podcast is all over on the podcast world, Apple, Spotify, Podbean, and everything. So check that out, iHeart. Black Switch Gaming, if you guys like video games, want to geek out with us, we're out there doing our things. Our boy Jake, one of our boys Dwayne, Jeremy sometimes jump on that, and my boy Val is always, you know, he's like, he's by my rib, we do the thing, you know, bringing you some good podcast
content. I am the Eve.
We bringing you some good podcast content over there, talking about video games and stuff like that, which we will be having a Cyberpunk review because I'm so hype about that. But yeah, definitely check that out. That's Lag Switch Gaming, LSG Podcast on Instagram, and that podcast right now is only on Spotify and Apple. I gotta get those URLs out there everywhere. But also, if you guys love the pop culture and the movie genres and anime and Funkos and all that good stuff and horror flicks, check out my boy Val doing his thing on Pop Culture Fanatics. Put that plug in, player.
Oh yes, pop culture fanatics with a hyphen in between pop and culture.
I forgot the hyphen.
No, that's okay. I'm mentioning it for no damn reason because no one cares. You can still find it. Just Google it. Please, if you guys want to hear horror reviews, if you guys want to hear top five countdowns about, like, what's your favorite Johnny Depp performance? Go on and go out there, pop culture fanatics. Crybaby's fucking awesome, but he wasn't singing in that movie, so I exclude it. Sweeney Todd, motherfucker, let's go. Go on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all the other podcast platforms out there. They all have an Anchor, Patreon as well. So all these podcasts have an Anchor, Patreon, so please donate if you want to as well too. But if you don't and you just want to hear us and our shenanigans, like, subscribe, rate, review, leave a comment, let us know how we're doing. That rocks our socks off right there. And of course, if you want to reach me, on the Twitter, you can find me at Lucha Val Cisco and Instagram at Val Cisco. Go ahead, brother.
There you go, Lucha Val Cisco, laid in her, slide up in those DMs.
Yes, please do. With your little judo booty shorts, looking like a little scrumptious mini me. I love it.
You go come in that DM, I break you like soil.
Nothing wrong with that. You can put a Kimura on me and I'll chronicle my life every day.
I'm so done.
That's what we have right there. If you want to hear a side podcast about Red Skull, no, I'm kidding.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm not reading that.
Definitely, y'all can check out Johann Schmidt After Hours. That's the podcast right there. If y'all wanted to.
Red wine and Red Skull. All day.
I'm done.
That's all we got for you guys. Guys, thank you so much for listening to all our shenanigans out there. Always keep it sweet and always keep it elite. Jay, it's always been a pleasure for you, brother.
It's a pleasure, man, as always. And everybody take care. And then thank you for chiming in.
Later.